inch by inch, row by row. Gonna make this go.
In this week's edition of Garden Talk, we embark on a little spring pruning and spring planting. And with us on the line, as usual, is Master Gardener Ed Byarski. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Matt.
So, pruning, I thought that's usually done in the fall. Is that right?
Pruning can be done almost any time except for the deep winter, really. But it depends on what it is you want or needs to be pruned. So the basic, the real basic stuff, though, is if they're dead wood, broken branches, prune them off any time you see them.
And so is that going to have any sort of an effect, though, on how the tree or the bush grows throughout the rest of the season if you do that in the spring?
Yes, it will. And that's, of course, that's the whole idea about pruning, that we prune to change perhaps the shape of the tree, the growth habit, maybe to stimulate more flower production or more fruit production, or to get bigger, maybe bigger apples, you know, fewer but bigger apples potentially. So lots of reasons for pruning, again, kind of for the health of the tree or sometimes for the health of the neighborhood, like you talked about your overhanging lilac that's growing out in the way. If it's in the way of people walking by, prune it off.
So if you have no choice, just go ahead and do it then.
Exactly. So, but I mean, if we have a choice, particularly for lilacs, we normally want to prune those at the time of flowering. And this applies to rhododendrons too, because those flower buds that will open this summer, spring or summer, are on that bush or tree. So if you prune off much of that lilac, well, you're sacrificing flowers. Again, it's a necessity in your case. But we can choose the right time for the apples and cherries is kind of now until they break dormancy. And we're pruning kind of to open up the tree. If the tree, especially cherries, get really tangled and messy inside, thinning out the inner branches can let more sun, more light, more air into the tree, which can result in better, well, better pollination from the bees, better sunshine, better color, more sugar for the fruit, which is all better for us.
Now, when it comes to planting, isn't it a little early? I'm pretty sure that most gardeners, or at least some gardeners in towns, probably still have about a foot to 2 feet of snow, or at least berms in their backyard. I mean, it's ground's probably still frozen, right?
Well, yes, the ground, yeah, outdoors ground is frozen. I've got our first snowdrops are starting to bloom here, and I'll bet downtown by the federal building there's some crocus probably blooming, next to houses, of course. But certainly starting stuff inside, yesterday I planted tomatoes indoors, I am anticipating, certainly. But there's hoop houses and greenhouses are sprouting up all over the place, and planting in those, in pots or in, if you've got beds in the hoop house, I planted some spinach and peas. Yes, the soil is cold, but they will sprout when they get enough signal of warmth and moisture. And, of course, the sun, we're getting sun. We've got more than 12 hours of daylight. So if the ground is not frozen, people could plant radishes, they could plant some kale or early mustards in the ground in those sheltered places, and they will pop up and surprise us with a fairly early crop. And that's, I mean, we're trying to work with and around Mother Nature at this point.
Okay. And also, we have a question from a listener. Liz writes, is it uncommon to get mold on seedlings when starting them, and what can I do about it?
No, it is not uncommon at all. Certainly, it happens to most of us. The key to start with is clean new potting soil and cleaned, washed pots. Soapy water with a little bit of bleach in is good. Because those fungus, which is, I mean, it's all around us, it's in the soil, there's fungus spores in the air, and having moist and usually warm conditions, you know, for underneath lights where we're starting our new little plants, is conditions for, it's called damping off. unfortunately, there's not much you can do about it once it happens. You'll see overnight, literally, your new seedlings you're so proud of are laying down flat. They just fall over because that fungus attacks right at the base of the seedling or right at the soil surface. So cleanliness is a really important thing. And I'll even, when I'm filling my pots with even that new potting soil, I'll actually pour boiling water on top of them, partly to help moisten the soil better, but also to maybe kill off some of that fungus that may be near the surface, and then do my seeding into that, and then try to be as clean as possible. And, of course, that applies to cleaning up greenhouses and other things, too, but this time of year before planting.
But those seedlings that have mold, they're basically gone. There's nothing you should...
Yeah, unfortunately, they're pretty much toast. There really isn't anything you can spray. If they've fallen over, they're dead. If you can maybe scrape a little soil away from them, if there's still some good seedlings there, they may survive. Maintaining a little drier surface, in other words, doing bottom watering. Don't water the seedlings from the top, but water into the tray so they soak it up from the bottom. Keeping that soil surface drier can help lessen the problems with damping off.
Okay. Ed Byarski, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Matt.
Ed Byarski with this week's edition of Garden Talk, a weekly feature here on KTOO Juneau.